The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1078. Dear Lord, and shall thy spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing, divine. Hymn 1078.
Every cheer. please God to bless the reading of his holy words to the profit of our souls this evening. Let us turn to the first book of the Chronicles, and we'll read chapter 29. The first book of the Chronicles, and reading chapter 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood. Onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colours, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given them. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers, Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord's to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered. And all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honour. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. Well, may God graciously instruct us from his holy word, and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, most gracious, merciful, holy and eternal Lord God, help us to come in prayer tonight. Accept our thanks, Lord, that there is a throne of grace, so that we as unworthy sinners can approach unto the majesty on high through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for true prayer tonight. Deliver us, Lord, just from a mere form of words. But Lord, may we pray from our heart. And Lord, we desire to come at this evening hour with thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy toward us. Lord, we read thy word. We're very thankful that we have it in our own language, and the ability to read it, and the freedom that we enjoy to read it. And Lord, may these favours be used for the eternal good of our souls. Lord, help us to read it as the Word of God. Lord, not just an historical account, not just written by men, but Lord, may realise it is the very Word of God. And therefore we earnestly seek that thy word may speak to our inmost being, our soul. O Lord, may it have a deep and lasting impression upon us. And Lord, as we read the blessings in thy word, Lord, may we realise the wonderful favour that is ours as we walk in this earth with that glorious plan of salvation laid before us so clearly in thy word. And Lord, we come tonight earnestly praying that everyone here and all those who may be listening to us, to our broadcast tonight, Lord, that they may realize there is a God in heaven, a God who rules and reigns, a God who controls everything in our little lives, a God who will be worshipped and adored, that one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we read some great truths tonight. Lord, as thy servant David was able to pen those words a short time before he passed out of time into eternity, we see it, Lord, we may recognise the importance of them. Indeed, Lord, the importance of all thy word. And we're grateful that we have it to read. And we seek, Lord, then, tonight, as we've come together to worship, oh, we earnestly pray that every one of us may be numbered amongst the true worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray we may not be false worshippers. We pray we may not be hypocrites in the things of God, pretending to be what we're not, but yet, Lord, also humbly acknowledging what we are by thy grace. And so, Lord, we commend ourselves to thee here tonight. Lord, we are so dependent upon the blessed Spirit to come and speak thy word into our hearts. And Lord, we've gathered here tonight, we trust for that divine purpose. As those ancient Greeks said to Philip so many years ago, sirs, we would see Jesus. And Lord, grant us then that faith to view the suffering Saviour. And Lord, bless then with that faith to believe the glorious Saviour suffered and died upon that cross at Calvary to redeem our souls. O Lord, may such a wonderful truth have a very gracious effect in our hearts, so that we may indeed bow down and worship thee. Lord, look upon us then, we pray, and come and touch our hearts. For Lord, only thou knowest exactly how we stand before thee here tonight. Whether we come, Lord, hungry and thirsty for the truth of God, whether we come here hard-hearted, perhaps in anger against the truth of God, whether we come rebellious against the great God because things haven't worked out or appeared in accordance with our belief. O Lord, to come then and rule in our hearts tonight. And give us each, Lord, that humble submission to thy will. And O Lord, do come and do be lifted up. Lord, we plead that glorious promise. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lord, we need that power tonight. We need, Lord, to experience that drawing to thee. No, we pray it may be so. Lord, then do be gracious to us. Thou knowest, Lord, our sinful state by nature. Thou knowest, Lord, the conflict we have, the continual conflict between the flesh and the spirit. But Lord, we pray that we each may experience the gracious conquering. And Lord, not in our own strength, but through what our Saviour has done. And so, Lord, we come tonight, and we pray then that our hearts may be touched and that we may bow down before our God. Be with each one, Lord, young and old here, those listening to us, those perhaps not able to or looking after children. Be with, Lord, and bless each one. And Lord, we pray for this village of Swavesey, Lord, in thy good mercy thou hast maintained a faithful witness in this church for many years. We pray, gracious God, that the hearts of many people in this neighbourhood may be moved by thy spirit to consider their latter end. To, Lord, be brought to know there is a God in heaven, and Lord, to be directed to come, if it could be thy will, and worship here, and Lord, find rest for their souls. O Lord, as thy servants come week by week to preach the everlasting gospel, we pray, Lord, the word may be in power and in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. O Lord, if there are those who are doubtful with regard to their election of God, we pray, Lord, that they may have the wonderful positive evidences from thyself, that thou hast indeed called them out of the nature of darkness in this world into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And so, Lord, we pray then that would indeed remember this part of thy vineyard. Lord God, do great things if it could be thy holy will. Lord, we believe we're coming to a great God, and we know thou canst do great things. And Lord, we know that the word tells us that we'll be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And so, Lord, let us never be backward in seeking thy face and praying for the blessing of the Lord to descend upon us. Lord, we come again praying for our nation. O Lord, how we need it to arise and touch the hearts of many. Be with our leaders, Lord. Leave them not to themselves, to their own vain objectives. But, Lord, do grant that they may be moved by thy Spirit to seek those things which are right and in accordance with the word of God. Likewise, we pray for our Queen, Lord, in her old age. We're thankful thou hast seen fit to bring her to this Jubilee year. And we pray, Lord, that she may be able to stand firm for the truth of God. And we would rejoice, Lord, to hear from her lips true testimony that thou art her hope, thou art her trust. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless her, we pray. And the royal family also, often, Lord, in chaos, but Lord, thou canst move even those around the throne. And Lord, we pray that thou would not forget, Lord, those in war at the present time. Lord, we think of those, Lord, in Ukraine, and we think of the enemy, the Russians. Lord, no doubt there are many Russians who wish this war did not exist. Many may be who are fighting against their wishes, against their desires. Oh Lord, if it could be thy will, thou would arise. Grant there may be a cessation of hostilities. Lord, we know that nothing is too hard for thee. So, Lord, do arise to this end. Lord, we now come commending ourselves to thee. Lord, do come and bless us tonight. We pray, Lord, we may not come and go from this place without any eternal good received for our souls. But Lord, come where we are, we pray, and do us good. Forgive our every sin. We ask it all in the worthy and all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. Hymn 941.
Oh,
Almighty God, to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word, let us turn to the first book of the Chronicles, chapter 29, and we'll read verses 10 and 11. The first book of the Chronicles, chapter 29, and reading verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Surely, this is indeed a most glorious way to direct our prayers to Almighty God. It is really a prayer of thanksgiving that we read together in this 29th chapter of the first book of the Chronicles, and how we should observe the wonderful example it is to us. Often, you know, we can, as it were, rush into the presence of God without really acknowledging who he is. Sometimes seem to treat God as though he's on the same level as we are. And yet David, who was a man after God's own heart, who enjoyed communion and union with Almighty God, nonetheless he begins his prayer with this thanksgiving and this setting forth the greatness of God. Because we do need to be reminded how great God is, and by comparison, how small and unworthy we are of any notice. And how wonderful it is then that such a God condescends to look upon us and condescends to hear and condescends to answer our prayer. Do we not have to come and say, O Lord God, how great thou art? And so we have in these words here, David, remember, not long before he died, not long before he passed out of time into eternity, and how important it is very often to listen and record the words of dying saints as they come near to glory. And so David here, in these words, he extols Almighty God. He says, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. He's addressing the eternal God, for ever and ever. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. This, my friends, is the great God that you and I have to deal with. Don't think that you and I can avoid dealing with this great God. One thing is very clear throughout the Word of God, that every soul will bow the knee to Almighty God. The Church of God bow before God on this earth. those who are unbelievers will bow before God on that great day of judgment. So what a mercy it is if you and I bow down before this great God and acknowledge, like David does here, in these words, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." You know, we stand before God exactly as we are. And God knows whether we have truly bowed down before this great God, and if we have truly acknowledged how great he is. God is worthy of all our praise. God is worthy of us acknowledging his greatness. David sets here for us a good example on how we should come and address Almighty God. There are so many prayers you and I can read in the Word of God which testify to the correctness of such an example. And if we have a right view of God, I'm sure we will desire to come in this way, to come humbly before the Almighty God, the one who rules and reigns over everything, and be able, therefore, to acknowledge the greatness of God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Well, God knows whether we really believe the words that we read. So often we can read the Word of God and we can become very familiar with the Word of God. And we can read it and not realize what we're reading. But here you and I are reading a great truth. And that truth is, the Lord is a great God. And this greatness, my friends, extends to the glory of that salvation that comes to all true believers. The greatness of the plan of salvation. I wonder if sometimes we just stand back and ponder and meditate and realize how glorious is the plan devised by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past to save rebellious men and women, sinners of the deepest dye, and yet not beyond the reach of Almighty God. Well, it's a mercy tonight. Therefore, if we see something of the greatness in that plan of salvation, we might say the simpleness of it, and yet the wonder of it. And to think that that goes back right to the earliest time in the history of the world, when man, Eve and Adam, were deceived by the serpent. And you and I today, we're often deceived by the serpent, by the devil himself. That's his great desire, his great ploy, is to deceive us. And he uses the same words that he used to Eve all those years ago. The words are these: "Hath God said?" What does it do? It produces doubt in our minds. And we come under that category then, the evil heart of unbelief. And how often the devil comes and tempts us in this way. Tempts us with the truth of God's word. Tempts us with regard to the words perhaps that we are resting on for our salvation. Well, let us remember the Lord is great. The Lord is great, and the devil is a liar from the beginning. My friend, never listen to the lies of Satan. He always wants to detract from the work of God. He always wants to cause us to doubt the work of God. And my friends, it's good if you and I can speak in this way to the devil as he comes in. Sometimes he comes in like a flood to try and drown our religion. Well, we can tell the devil, "Devil, the word of God tells me this. David said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. And no one is greater than our God. And no one is able to do greater things than our God." We only have to trace through the word of God, don't we? The many wonderful occasions when the Lord came to his people in their time of need and delivered them and stood by them and strengthened them and helped them. This is the God that by his grace we adore, his greatness. My friends, the devil cannot stand against the greatness of God. And we think of those words which were spoken by the Lord to the devil, that the seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head. And so, glory to God, that came to pass after all those years when the Saviour was born in Bethlehem and lived that perfect life and died that sin-atoning death upon Calvary's cross. That glorious promise set forth in those early days of the history of the world were fulfilled. Be encouraged. The word of God never fails. His promises always come to pass. The Lord is a great God. And that's why we have this statement. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Well, it's a mercy tonight if we do really believe that we come to a great God. When we pray, we come to a great God who is able to do for us far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. How do you view your God tonight? Do you view him as a great God, the greatest God, the glorious God, the prayer-hearing God, the prayer-answering God? This is the great God that David desired to exalt. You can read in detail the life of David, and you can see in so many occasions when the Lord gloriously came and delivered him and blessed him. It was, of course, those times when David was left to himself and fell very sadly into sin. But here again, we see, do we not, the greatness of God in forgiveness. And you and I will bless God that we do have such a great God who is so glorious in forgiving us in all our sins. We must not categorize sins really into great sins and small sins, because every sin will keep us out of glory unless it's atoned for. So, my friends, may we know tonight something of the greatness of our God, and therefore not belittle him and not bring him into a small category, but realize the greatness. This is what David desired as he started his prayer of thanksgiving. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Well, what a mercy tonight if you and I know something of the greatness of our God. In his compassion, in his great love, in his abounding mercy, they're all part of the greatness of God. No, he's not a little God. He's a great God. He's the greatest. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. And then he says, and the power. Power belongeth unto God. And if you and I need any demonstration of the power of God, in natural things we can go back to the creation of the world and to see that the Lord God Almighty spoke the world into being. That so clearly demonstrates the power of God. The power of God. And then, if we move on to see the powerful work of redemption, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life to atone for the sins of all his church, and to think that that atonement was applied to you and me. Without it, my friends, you and I are lost forever. But with it, we are safe forever. The power. This is indeed supernatural power. You and I cannot deliver ourselves from our sin. The sins which, as the apostle said, so easily beset us. And yet you see, the Lord has delivered his people from the power of sin, because his power is greater. Oh, power belongeth unto God. What a blessing that is. And sometimes, in our little way, we have observed the power of God. Perhaps in our natural lives, we may have seen perhaps someone against us, perhaps speaking against us, perhaps acting against us, and we may have seen the power of God stopping their mouth, not enabling them to do what they intended to do. And we see very clearly the power of God being exerted on our behalf. Well, that's a very humbling experience to know that our God rules and reigns, and he has power to control our enemies. It's wonderful to observe, and it's good to observe the power of God in so many ways in our natural life, as we may pray to him, and you young people at school and at college, and perhaps in work, you may have difficulties which you encounter, and you need the Lord to give you that power to understand, perhaps the ability to answer questions correctly. The Lord gives power to do these things. What a blessing it is when you're able to look beyond ourselves. Don't rely on your own ability. Don't rely on your own acumen. Don't think that you're able. We're only able through God. The power of God. To have that set forth in our lives. As we may have these difficulties, to feel and realize the Lord is by our side. I wonder whether you've ever known the Lord to be by your side. The power of God exerted on your behalf. How confirming that is. How humbling it is. How wonderful it is. Much cause there is to praise and exalt our God. Because David desires to praise his God. And so he says then, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. I think this is one of the most important aspects to realize, that you and I should never desire any glory ourselves. We should always desire the name of our God should be lifted up and honored and glorified, and that we see his glory being shown forth. You know, his glory is shown forth in many ways. It's shown forth in our natural life, and it's shown forth in our spiritual life. And what a great blessing for you and me if that glory is shown forth in our spiritual lives as by faith we see what the Lord Jesus Christ did in order to redeem our souls. How vital, how necessary. What a blessing then to see God's glory revealed, that glory in redeeming lost sinners, that glory in redeeming our souls, the glory, my friends, when the Holy Spirit conveys into our soul that we are redeemed. What glory there is. What a blessing there is. What will that produce? I'm sure it will produce from our bottom of our heart praise to our Redeemer. Praise to our Redeemer for his great mercy toward us. He hasn't cut us off. He hasn't dealt with us as our sins deserve. But his glory has been set before us. What a mercy it is to realize here we have a God who is so kind and so gracious to such sinners. His glory set forth. And in that situation, you see, you and I will not be able to glory in anything that we have done. It's all of grace. His glory shines forth in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful word, it's a wonderful statement in the Corinthians, the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, how very wonderfully he sets before us this in the fourth chapter, the second epistle to the Corinthians, and the sixth verse. This is what he says: For God, who commanded, think of that, in your life and my life, God, the glorious God, commands on our behalf what? The light to shine out of darkness. You and I are born in darkness. Born in darkness. We live in darkness until. And oh, may you and I have an until in our life, until the light shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. You see, it's in our soul. It's our innermost being. It's not just a head knowledge. My friends, a head knowledge is good, but a head knowledge is not saving. Do you hear what I say? A head knowledge is not saving. You and I, my friends, need this blessed light of the gospel to shine into our hearts, into our soul, into our innermost being. And what's the purpose of that? Well, Paul spells it out very simply for us. To give. God gives it. You and I don't earn it. God gives it. That's humbling, isn't it? God gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The glory of God, how? In the face of Jesus Christ. Do you know the truth of such a glorious statement? Do you know? Have you experienced this light shining into your hearts? And I can tell you this, it makes a difference. You're a new creature. You're a changed person. Because the light shone, the light from heaven, into your hearts. It's clear, isn't it? And you see, when God commands it, the devil cannot stop it. No, he can't. It's commanded by Almighty God. And what a wonderful blessing it is to receive this into our hearts, the light of the gospel. So you and I can study the word of God, nothing wrong in that. You and I can learn the passages in the word of God, nothing wrong in that. But you and I need the power of God to reveal this glorious light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It sets before us the wonderful work of redemption, that the Lord Jesus Christ was so willing to come into this sinful world, to live that perfect life, to die that sin atoning death in our place as our Saviour, in order that the glory of God might be revealed. Well, my friends, tonight, do we rejoice in this wonderful work of salvation? Do we praise and bless God that he saved our soul, that the light shone into our hearts? The light shines at Calvary. It's by faith you and I look to the Lord Jesus Christ and see there him suffering and bleeding and dying to take away all our sins. Glory of God. Not to what man would think. My friends, you and I wouldn't think anything of it. You may be saying tonight, I can't understand that. You won't understand it until the Holy Spirit comes and reveals Christ as your Saviour. Then you see what's occurred. The light from heaven has shone. The divine light, the eternal light, the blessed light, the glory of God shone into our hearts. Wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. And so here, David says, the glory. Thine, O Lord, is the glory. Wonder whether you and I can enter in to something of the fullness of such a truth. Because this will have an effect upon us. When that light of the gospel shines into our heart and reveals to us the suffering Saviour, the blood shed in order to satisfy the holy demands of God, the glory. Well, tonight, my friends, do we rejoice? Do you and I rejoice before God in what the Lord Jesus Christ did? You can answer that question. I cannot, on your behalf. But my friends, all of us will need to come to that place before we die, where we see something of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does it do? It exalts the Saviour. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Have we been drawn to the Saviour? Is he to us more precious far than earth and all its comforts are? How do you answer that question? That's the blessing of God. He grants us this wonderful favour to be able to come truly and rejoice in what he has done. And so here David continues, and the glory and the victory. The victory. Victory over sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was a glorious conqueror. He conquered the devil. You and I are unable to conquer the devil ourselves. But as we read in the Romans, we are more than conquerors through him. The victory is not what we've done. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's our great and glorious victory. And so tonight, can we come and say, thine, O Lord, is the victory. Well, it is. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ conquered. He gained the victory over Satan when he was on the cross with that enormous agony and that tremendous burden. He completed that which his Father had given him to do. And he uttered those glorious words, "It is finished." The Saviour gave his life that you and I might receive life. Never, my friends, underestimate the blessing and the victory that was achieved at Calvary. It's good to stay and ponder there. It's good to meditate upon the great work of the Saviour, the wonderful victory that he obtained on our behalf. He bore the punishment instead. And we are set free. We are set free. That which was due to us, the Saviour bore. I think it's a wonderful truth that our sin was placed upon the Saviour. The Word of God uses the word imputed. Very beautiful word. Our sin, every sin, placed upon the Saviour, imputed to him. He took it to himself. And in exchange, he gave to his church, to all his people, and imputed his righteousness, his spotless robe of righteousness. So, by his grace, we are complete in him. Oh, rejoice, my friends, tonight in the finished work of the Saviour. Victory. Victory it is. And the victory and the majesty. Now, that's an important consideration. You say, well, why is it important? It's important because of this. It brings us to acknowledge that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he is my King and my Lord. Subjects naturally bow down to their King. God's subjects bow down to the blessed Lord as their King. My friends, what a mercy then to be willing subjects to do his bidding, to do his will. Naturally, if a king commands something, the subjects do that. We have a greater king, a most glorious king, a king who doesn't lay on us more than we're able to bear, but a king that does give commands. A king that is so glorious and so compassionate. And he speaks in his word to every true believer. And as the apostle tells us, and as the Lord tells us, we are to take up our cross and to follow him. Follow him. Well, you might think that's not a very easy thing. Well, I quoted that verse this morning, didn't I? In the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." That means to follow the Lord. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I think that's a wonderful, gracious and glorious invitation. My friends, to a poor, hell-deserving sinner, heavy laden, burdened with sin, to see the glory of this King Jesus. Majesty. Majesty. See, David had a right view. A right view of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And therefore he said, "And the victory, and the majesty." Well, tonight, my friends, how do we view the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he our King? It's no good saying, "Well, yes, he is," and then we don't do his bidding. If he is our King, we would desire to truly do his bidding and to take up our cross daily and follow him. You know, sometimes I tell my young people at home, "I've got the best job in the world." You may say, "Well, what's that?" That's being a preacher. "And I've got the best master in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ." What a mercy it is that we do have a great and glorious master who deals with us, remember, in love to our souls. We must always remember that. Whatever you and I find in our lives, which may perhaps appear contrary to what we expect, just pause and realize it's because the King, King Jesus, loves us, loves our souls, and is causing us to be made conformable to his image. My friend, you and I would never follow that path left to ourselves. But what a blessing when God brings us to this place where we acknowledge that this great God indeed is our King. He is the majesty and the victory and the majesty. And then he goes on to just fill it out, really, to express the greatness of God. "For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine." You may have noticed when we read down this chapter, David realized that all that he had and all that he possessed was the Lord's. And that's good, you know, if you and I understand that everything that you and I have and possess are not really ours. Our homes, our money, our cars, everything God has graciously blessed us with. But everything you and I possess is really the Lord's. Don't say, well, that's mine, I'm going to keep that. The Lord might take it away. Realize that God has graciously, we might say, lent it to us to use, and to use for his honor and for his glory. The Lord doesn't give us things just to fritter away and just to waste our time. The church of God are called not to waste their time. They're called to redeem the time, because the days are evil. And surely we can see that around us, can't we? And you and I today should be found redeeming the time and recognizing this great truth: for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Oh, tonight, my friends, do we desire to exalt the Lord, to raise him up in praise and exaltation? Is our desire really to exalt his name? You know, we read the word of God says, and let us exalt his name together. The common theme of the true church of God: to exalt the name of the Saviour. Well, what a blessing it is. We desire to do that because of his love toward us, because of his grace, which we've experienced. Remember, free, unmerited favour. Because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of his love. And friends, what a mercy. If you and I have received these gifts from God, they are gifts because we never earn them, we never will earn them. We stand, as the hymn writer says, a debtor to mercy alone, the mercy of our God. Well then, tonight, may we come and recognize that here is David, right down at the end of his days, with this prayer of thanksgiving to his God, desiring that he'll be lifted up and honoured and glorified. Remember, the word tells us praise is comely. May we have true desires tonight to praise our God. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. Mr. James Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 940. 940. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Hymn 940.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.